Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 301.
A milestone.
You all voted. Thanks for voting.
So is it an inconvenient sequel? Is that what we
should have been? I bet you, if we would have had Emoji Movie on the ticket, I bet you that would have won.
Hey, anyone could have added films. I don't remember anyone adding Emoji Movie to the list.
Somebody did say the Emoji Movie in the vote.
Yeah, I think it was...
But it was a write-in, and
Paola.
We didn't acknowledge it.
I think it was Paola. Your buddy.
Paola.
Paola, who tried to get us to watch that piece
of garbage.
Well,
she would have...
Versus this...
Yeah,
that's true. That's a good point.
Because this piece of garbage, the first thing I said was, how long is that movie? 2 hours and 21 minutes. I'm like, God dang it.
See, I can already tell this is going to be a good movie. This is why we chose this movie.
See, it's funny when I see a movie like this, I'm like, 2 hours and 20, I automatically go, okay, but like 8 minutes of that's going to be credits. Like
true.
I automatically start trying to make myself feel better about it. Like,
you know what I did?
8 minutes is credits.
I'm just saying right now. Towards the end, when we had some restitution, I was like, you know what? I'll just check out Wikipedia, and I'm going to catch up on what the rest of the story is, because I want to beat the crowd out.
Before it was over?
It was the final scene.
Yeah.
Well, they're on the spaceship talking. I'm like, I'm out of here.
Lots of talking.
Because anytime our two leads are talking, I'm like, well, this is not good. Worth filming.
It's awful.
Maybe you should make that point now,
Joe.
Oh,
yeah. Like the Cara Delevingne, Dean DeHaan experiment. Has failed.
The experiment is, I think they had
Wonder
costumes.
Twin powers activate. Form of exposition.
Form of charisma sucking.
I just can't. It's like they shot them on a little in a green screen box over the course of a day and just kind of had him riffing.
I feel like he was doing
riffing a little bit.
He was like, so I just saw John Wick and I liked the way Keanu Reeves talked in that movie.
I thought the same thing.
Oh my god!
Like he was not Keanu Reeves and she was not Emma Stone.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Banter.
I cannot stand that guy and the way he talks.
Nope.
It's that LA surfer type of like cool.
Well, then like he would drop in and out of like this cool, like I use the word cool very loosely. Yeah, like cool douchebag.
But it's like
to
Keanu,
like now I'm supposed to take you seriously.
It's like Keanu Point Break era though.
Yeah.
Keanu. It's that type of talk.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't stand
it. It's almost like Keanu Bill and Ted.
Yeah, it is.
But like so the reason that works is because
I thought he sounded like Butthead.
I seriously did.
Yeah,
his voice is higher, right? So when Keanu Reeves is delivering that dialogue in Bill and Ted, like he has a higher inflection, so it makes it.
He's also playing a stupid character.
He's
stupid.
How is this guy?
He's lovable, but he's stupid, right?
Is he a lieutenant or a sergeant or whatever?
He's a major.
He's
major, four-star major Valerian.
Did you ever see major douchebag?
You know, like in Starship Troopers, where you see the bug attack for the first time and all of a sudden like you lose the sergeant and then the one guy's like, you're a sergeant now. He's like, apparently I'm a sergeant now. Okay, great. And then he gets his head cut off and the next guy, you know, I feel like that's what happened to Dean DeHaan. Is like he was just the idiot in the wrong place at the right time.
Yeah,
and everybody died and they're just like, I guess you're the major now since you're the only one here.
But I mean, no. See, I mean, if you look at the history, this is a graphic novel.
This is pretty like acclaimed, right?
Well, it's very famous graphic novel. It's from, I think, 67. It's from the 60s. It's French, and it ran all the way to the early 2000s. So, I mean, you're talking about.
So when you say graphic novel, you don't mean single issue. Like, this wasn't a single issue thing. Was this in like book form?
It was in well, from what I saw, it was in there's volumes. Okay. Is what I've seen. There's 15 volumes or something.
All right.
So they may have released them in large volumes at a time. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about the 60s to the early 2000s. It is a very famous French property, and Luc Besson has been trying to make this for a long time, but didn't think.
I hope he gets a chance to.
But I mean, the thing is that I think one of the huge missteps this movie is the casting. I mean,
terrible.
We found out from Suicide Squad, Cara Delevingne is not a good actor.
So I
all she had to do was just be kind of creepy, though.
I don't put that performance on her. Like, that was a mess from the get.
I get it, but I'm just saying it
was confirmed with this movie.
Yeah. Right. Well, it was confirmed what we thought. I mean, just the part from when she was an archaeologist and just the way she acted and that, I'm like, oh, I
don't
like.
That's not her, though. Like, that's the script.
No, I get it.
Where she's like, I'm the greatest archaeologist ever.
I don't like it. But in this movie, it's like, oh, she's so terrible. And Dane DeHaan, you can't stand how the guy just talks. No. And he's not cool. He's supposed to be this major. But he's a cool ladies' man.
I am the great Cornholio. TP for my Cornholio.
Yeah. They're in the wrong. I was like, are they using stuff from another movie?
Right.
It's Surfer Space Kids.
It's a complete mess.
Surfer Space Kids.
I feel like that probably did come out. I was like, Surf Ninjas Must Die.
I thought this whole movie played like Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought.
In space.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
It opens on in Pandora, the beaches of Pandora.
Yeah. Was that Jessica Alba?
Did she do
the mocap for that?
So I thought it was Rihanna because I knew Rihanna was in the movie. It looked like Rihanna to me.
I thought the same thing at first. I was like, oh, I guess this is Rihanna.
I thought that's the role
until
she
pops up. And then I'm like, oh.
But I think Rihanna.
Did you get anybody see this in both
3D?
No.
Hell no.
I know this was like made for 3D. I mean, I kind of wish I would have seen it in 3D just because it's like, I know that they, like, there was a lot of, you know, work. But this movie has a lot visually that they're trying to do. Costumes. I mean, honestly, the star of this movie is the costume designer. You know, there's
a lot of beautiful
design. Yeah, a lot of the stuff is on the screen. So when you say, what, $170 million, I'm like, no,
it's 177.2, give or take.
Yeah, it's on the screen.
It's incredible sets and all that stuff, but it's terrible.
That is Jessica Alba.
It is? Okay. Yeah. Wow. But no, it's the writing and it's those two leads that just ruin it. Because I'll tell you what, from the very beginning, like, I was in the story with the space station and building. I'm like, this is cool. I really like the concept.
That whole opening scene is the Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, this movie, there's a lot.
It looks just like everything from, like,
this is the next Fifth Element.
Yeah, the scene in the Fifth Element when Bruce Willis and Chris Tucker are on that ship.
Mm-hmm. That's not an opening scene.
But I mean, like, that scene where, like, they're trying to get onto the ship, rather. Yeah. They're doing the multi-pass gimmick. It's almost the exact same scene as this. I mean, the setting is different.
I liked the idea. Because the whole idea behind it is that, you know, the International Space Station, these different aliens came and they start joining. And
I thought Rutger Hauer was dead?
Oh, shame.
And then
you.
He show. It is. I agree. And then he shows up, and I was like, I know.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. It was his last movie.
No.
It was weird. Like, the opening credits, it was like Rutger Hauer, Herbie Hancock. I'm like, what?
What movie is this?
What decade is this?
Well, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, like the International Space Station. I was like, well, that's kind of clever. And then like more spaceships,
and then
got to be kind of cumbersome and affecting Earth's gravity because it's like a big.
It's like another moon or something.
In space, and they're like, oh, you gotta shuffle on because there's a lot of ships on this thing.
Seven Mary 3 in my head.
It was cumbersome. Oh. Yeah. It was a cool concept.
It was interesting. Yeah.
This movie tonally is so. That reminds me of Fifth Element. It's like tonally, it's like. Is it serious? Is it wacky? Is it like it doesn't know?
Well, it has no idea what it's doing.
It's very Fifth Element-esque. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. He's making a movie very similar.
I know this is blasphemy. I didn't care for the Fifth Element.
Really?
I don't either. I don't think here and here's but I appreciate Fifth Element, and I'll tell you why, and this is why I think this movie is the next Fifth Element. Fifth Element for the past 15 years has been the go-to for showing off your home theater. It is. You go to a home theater store, you go into people's rooms.
It's super bright. It's super saturated.
Super bright, super saturated. They've always invested a lot and put it in the color. Yeah. It has a 4K version coming out now.
I'm in.
It has always been like when people want to show off their home theater, they put in Fifth Element because it really dazzles people. A lot of people haven't seen it. And they're like, whoa, and the sound, and they've always put a lot in the sound and everything.
I think it was in 97.
I know, but I mean
look at how it looks. I mean,
this is going to be the next one. This is going to be the go-to for home theater. This is going to be like the showing off your home theater.
I was thinking that watching it, I was like, boy, this is going to be playing on every screen in Costco.
Absolutely, because it'll stop you in your tracks.
Yeah.
They'll do an Atmos version. They'll do from an audio standpoint. They'll do a 4K version. It's going to have all that stuff going in.
See, but I think this movie had a really strong start. So you go from the space station to the planet. What was it called? Mule.
Mule.
It was pronounced Mule. Mm-hmm. And so then it goes right. So we haven't even seen our main characters.
I was
yet.
Like Mew Mew.
So we go from the space station thing, which is called Alpha, is what this city of 1,000 planets is, and then we go to Mule, and it's like this beautiful ocean and this what are they called? I don't know, the aliens that live there. Yeah. The Mule.
Honestly, I was like, how does this hold up to Avatar? Because I was having sort of the same, like,
well, it doesn't help that the things look just like
I go, this
Navi.
Yeah. Yeah. This gets really close to that.
When they had the hoods on, I'm like,
it's amazing how much stuff he stole. From the
Avatar stole it, so
right.
Well, I mean, like,
what you don't understand,
Avatar stole. So, do you think Avatar stole from Valerian?
What did his ship look like? Anyone see any similarities there? Have you ever seen a
Falcon?
Ship? Yeah,
yeah.
What was 10 years before the Millennium Falcon?
So wait.
Yeah.
Well, so Star Wars stole from John Carter,
mm-hmm.
and it's so
inspired. The Millennium Falcon actually was a hamburger. Seriously, it was called the Flying Hamburger, and Lucas, when they were working on,
so tasty.
He's like, they were trying to figure out the ship, and they actually one of the ships that was the original Millennium Falcon ended up being retrofitted and becoming the Tantive IV,
okay,
which is the opening ship. It's the ship that we see it in Rogue One. But so Lucas was like, well, here you go. And so he loved hamburgers as go-to.
Really?
Food. Yeah, he's a malt chop guy. So he literally, they were all eating lunch one day, and he took a hamburger, and he put it like this, and he put the salt shaker, and he put it next to it, and he's like, there you go, there's the shape.
That's a hamburger.
And it was literally, they called it the Flying Hamburger. And that's where the design, and he had like two forks sticking out the front, and he stuck a salt shaker next to it, and he made the Millennium Falcon.
Oh boy,
but a lot of people.
Boy, that looks good.
A lot of people do say that this was inspiration for Star Wars. I guess maybe
I can see that.
That I mean, a lot of people have said for a while now that there was a lot.
Well, so was the Hidden Fortress.
Yeah, but there's a lot. But it's just funny that this is the same thing we did with John Carter, and everyone said John Carter, what a ripoff of Star Wars. And all this, it's like,
no,
what was that, like 100 years ago?
That's not the way that works.
So anyway, it's just funny when you fall into those pitfalls.
Yeah, John Carter was like not too long after the discovery of Mars. So
right.
Yeah.
So we jump to this planet, and then everything, they have these weird little animals that if you feed them something, they out
a cute little
more
animal.
Of them.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know.
I was like, I don't know
where
that's
coming from. I felt so bad for the animal. I'm like,
It wasn't real, right?
No,
it was kind of like
you look at it, and it's like all these things are coming out. Like,
it kind of shakes out something. It was kind of like a gremlin thing.
He's
going
like,
on.
I'm lactose intolerant. Stop it.
His face is just like,
at this point, I was like,
It was at that point where I was like, oh no,
I don't know what's going on.
Oh no.
So so basically these little animals are replicators, and whatever you feed it, it will replicate. So there's these marbles.
Eat this pizza.
Yeah, never ending pizza.
That's right.
So there are these marble looking things that are energy sources for this planet, and their whole planet is ran off of these. So that's what they do, is they would feed it to these animals that are indigenous to the planet,
and then they would use that as fuel
energy
for the rest of
the
city.
And then the planet is attacked by an unknown, we don't know what's
assailant,
going on,
some stuff,
and
crashing in.
The planet ends up blowing up, and there's a few survivors. Jessica Alba does not survive. But she sends out this spiritual mind blast
thing.
She
lights up.
And that's when we're introduced.
Yeah, right. I was just like, what?
what I don't understand, in order for this movie to work, is that you have to believe that nobody really knew that this planet existed,
right.
Yet everybody knew that this creature on this planet exists.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, for whatever reason, everybody's
what
after this one
creature.
Well, the
creature, it's the indigenous everybody people are
the creature.
After
No. Because John Goodman is trying to buy it.
No, he's selling it to them. He got it for them and then basically just wanted to keep it. But the military's trying to get it too.
Yeah.
Right.
So they know.
So they all know.
Well, the military knew about the plan that John Goodman's character. They knew they were in on the illegal operation and everything of the deal. No one knew about it until the people were looking for
it. You mean nobody knew that? What do you mean?
Well, when she finds it, Loreline,
yeah.
She's like, I've always wondered if this is true.
So she pooped in its mouth.
And she gives it an earring.
I didn't know she said she always.
Yeah, she's like, I've always wondered if the myths about you are true.
Interesting, okay.
So if there's myths about this planet that nobody knew existed.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I didn't catch that part.
Like, she was like, you know, I think she might even reference it. they talked about it in school.
I thought it was just the briefing.
Yeah, you're right. She's like, we learned about these guys in school. That's right. She did say that.
Hmm. Okay, well, yeah. Fair enough then. Yeah, I didn't catch that part. I thought it was like she was briefed on the mission, and I got that only this small group of people because of the indigenous people were looking for it.
Well, I mean, I think when it served the story, that's what they led you to believe.
Well, yeah.
And when it served the story for the other thing to be
true.
Yeah,
the existence of the people on this planet were, it was questionable because it was like, well, okay, did they, everybody know that they were, you know.
Here, or did they not know
indigenous
we were
people, yet nobody knows that they're indigenous. It just was dialed up and down depending on what they needed.
That bothers me, not just about this movie, but a lot of movies like this, right? So I think at the core, this movie is supposed to be some sort of allegory about diversity and embracing other cultures and blah, blah, blah. And okay, so.
He keeps calling them savages.
Yeah. But at the same time. Whenever a movie like this does like a, when they go to the City of a Thousand Planets, right? And they're like, and this group controls banking and this group makes all the leather goods and this group, it's this whole thing about diversity.
But they all have groups.
But the groups, they're responsible for one thing and nobody from another group ever decides, let's not just leave banking to the Liberty Deems. Like, I want to go do that. Like, you never have that. So they see that mixture, right?
Yeah,
like,
they're always segregated.
Like, the Hoot Nannies and
the Whatnows. Like,
the Whatnows
and the Hoot Nannies.
Even when you go to this planet Mule, like, there's only one species, right?
Right.
There aren't different colors.
No,
or they all look identical.
They do.
Like,
I do like that they change the voices. They're all voiced by females, whether they're male or female.
Yeah.
I thought that was clever.
I also noticed that some of them referring to them as she, and some of them say he, and it was like, it was interesting. Like,
I couldn't tell because the time I noticed that is when the evil general guy who's responsible for blowing up the planet,
Clive freaking Owen,
refers to them as a he, and then in the next sentence one
she.
Of them refers
she.
To them as the same characters as she, and I didn't know if that was supposed to be there's some sort of like kind of nebulous gender among them. Or if it was just he didn't know what he was talking about.
I don't think that's right. I was confused at first too, because when I first saw them, I thought when they were talking about the queen or whatever, I thought the ruler was female, and I thought it was maybe the one we saw in the beginning, which I believe was female, but really it's the king, but that is voiced by a female. So,
but also like the female, like, it's the way they clothe them. Like, the males don't have tops.
Males don't have tops, and women have tops.
Females and none of them had nipples.
Is that right?
Not that I could tell.
I didn't see a nipple, but...
Yeah. But this is all... We can't... I mean, it's an alien race. We can't...
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it as a design flaw.
Sure, not that...
I was saying when we're discussing the physicality of the aliens, none of them have nipples.
But it's boobs versus non-boobs.
Yeah.
Men don't have...
They did have boobs, but it didn't look like men or women had nipples.
Yeah, it was a...
Right. Right. So, but I think that it was confusing because I like the fact that they had the king voice by a female because it's just like, well, these are aliens. At first I thought, well, that's weird, but then I thought, well, wait a minute, we don't know how alien would sound by their gender, you know, so it's an alien planet.
Yeah, we don't need to force
our
notions
conventional.
Of
so
what we
think. Yeah, sure.
And then
sure,
so I think
sense.
When they said he or she, I was confused at first because I didn't understand who was the ruler and who was who, but I think they were referring to the queen and the king
I don't think so. I think because she said it too, what's her name?
Cara Delevingne.
Yeah, and she said it too, and I was like, she's saying
Can we go back to saying how bad they
and
suck?
He's And what's his name saying he?
Yeah.
And it, I mean, it was the second time I was like, okay, they've definitely seemed
they
to be like
more than once.
Making them, you know, people are either saying he or she. Yeah. So it, that they are sort of an
asexual is what. Yeah.
I was like, it happened enough there. I was like, I think, you know, and yeah, to your point, Clive Owen playing the role of, playing Gary Oldman's part in this
movie.
Yeah,
exactly. I like Clive Owen.
Ethan Hawke playing Chris Tucker's character.
Yeah, this is,
it is the Fifth Element with a bigger budget.
This totally is like, honestly, I was like, okay, this is like a spiritual.
Well, then
you
got Rihanna doing the alien dance opera thing.
Yeah.
Like it's the same.
Yeah.
To go back to Clive Owen, though, no, he is nowhere near as good as Zurg.
No, but I mean, this is also
it's Gary Oldman.
But I'm just saying he's playing a bad guy that's just like a regular military, like Zurg was. But
I know that this is there's a source material and is well loved, and and I know that Luc Besson's been wanting to make this, but the whole time I'm like, and I'm just thinking, and Luc Besson's probably thinking, man, I just need to make another Fifth Element.
Yeah,
and then, this is the one.
And I guess I don't know. Luc Besson to me. So we have done two of his two. We didn't do Lucy, did we?
Yeah,
we did.
We didn't do the other one.
We did the family.
We did the family.
Yeah, but we didn't do the other action one. He did another one that's like the same thing, didn't he?
Well, there was the family. There was Lucy.
It wasn't Salt, was it? With Angelina Jolie. That wasn't a Luc Besson.
That was way older,
though.
So.
He did another, I feel like, female action.
Like, he is, I don't know. So there's the Professional, which is an astounding movie.
Leon?
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Well no, because there's the Professional.
That's true.
And there's
Leon
the professional, which is the longer version.
Right.
Which they
I think it's better. I like that better.
Leon is better because it sort of broadened the scope of what he was doing, but it made a lot of people uncomfortable.
Oh,
yeah.
So they
because
cut.
Of the relationship?
Yeah. Which wasn't romantic. People saw it.
It's not Leon's fault, though. It was Natalie Portman's character who wanted, you know, and then Leon's like,
And he's just like,
And just FYI, that was going to be, they wanted to make a sequel, and it was going to be Matilda.
Oh, really?
But it got caught up in legal entanglements.
Really?
Interesting. So they couldn't make
it. It was going to be like a hit girl.
Yeah.
Basically.
She was going to be like
the
grown up version.
The word
I don't know.
Then it's not hit girl. Man,
but
some extra editing for
you,
Kevin.
That's
great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to take a lot to just be like,
but leave that for the UK audience.
Yeah,
it's okay over
it's
there.
Fine over there.
I found out, I was going to town when we were in London. I was like, yes!
I can say it.
Walking down the street. Hey.
Went wrong. They're just like, whoa, easy.
They're okay with it there.
They're okay with it until you say it about 100 times in a row.
That's fine.
No, that's fine. But yeah, so they.
Same meeting.
So they our two characters are they in an awful like so they go to this flea market, but the only way you can see the flea market is with these stupid goggles.
Yeah. It was like, it was an interdimensional or giant virtual reality flea market,
right?
Which basically they like took them to it actually looked like a real flea market. They just took them to like a big gravel parking lot,
yeah,
and people are walking around interdimensionally.
And well, who was the guy who was their tour guide?
I don't know.
I was like, who is that supposed to be? Are we supposed to know him? He was so zany.
I was like, is that Russell Brand? Like,
I thought that too.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I could think of. I thought Russell Brand.
This is where it's like, I think Luc Besson is like, you know, if you throw enough weirdness at something, and this is what Fifth Element is. If you throw enough random weirdness, people, you know, will elevate it and make it seem, you know,
when you have
like
Bruce
Willis, better than it actually is, where it's like, you just. Oh, you know, you overwhelm the senses.
But when it's Bruce Willis
like,
and Gary Oldman,
understood. But
they
when
can
you overwhelm
it.
The senses, and then people are like, "Wow, that was good." And that's what I think that this is an attempt to do that.
Why did you put a question mark on
because
the end
that's
of it?
What
I don't. Because I don't know. Because
it was good.
But that's the main fault with this is that Dane DeHaan is not Bruce Willis. As much as of a jerk as that guy is, he was a huge action star in the 90s.
Very few people that were bigger.
And he made that movie. I went back and watched
it. Well, and who really made the movie was, Ian Holm is in it too, you know.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
But also,
Chris Tucker and Gary
Oldman. What's her name?
Mila Jovovich.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. She's great.
They
in that
all
movie.
Were good, though. I mean,
right.
all. I mean, that was a
That's
winning
a really
combination.
Good cast.
And now you've got Cara Delevingne, the model turn actor. Which I mean, if you can do it, great. But she's not.
How
she
many
needs
models
to go back
have you
to...
seen that have made the jump? Like how many? Top
Ashton Kutcher, Mark Wahlberg. I mean, you can't say just because they're men, it's still the same thing.
Brooke Shields. Yeah.
Tom Selleck, Ted Danson.
Tom Selleck was a model?
Look at him.
I mean, you're not wrong.
There's a lot of models turn actors.
I guess so.
Margot Robbie maybe start off as a model, I feel like.
You would think, but I mean, I'm not sure.
But I mean, like, so I was, thinking like Kathy Ireland or Christie Brinkley or Elle McPherson.
Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford. Where it's just like.
Okay, yeah, but there's a lot of.
There's a lot of hits, but there's also a lot of misses.
Can do it. The point is, if you can do it, that's great. But my point is, like, maybe Cara Delevingne should go back to modeling.
Or like, not be a main part of a movie.
There were times in this, though, where I thought she was better than Dean Hahn.
Do you agree?
I think so, too.
But you're grading on a curve. I honestly, like, looked it up during the movie to see if she was related to Emma Stone.
Okay, side note. she's not American, right?
Correct.
You have all of these people in this movie with accents. The one person who has a natural accent, you make them have an American accent. That made
not Clive Owen.
Clive Owen, did he not use his accent in this movie?
It was a kind of a.
I feel like he can't do the American accent, so his just like his slips.
Maybe that's what it is.
I think that's
like,
what it is.
Yeah,
he's just not trying to, but he's doing it.
Right, yeah. Right.
He's not Hugh Laurie.
Right, right.
Hugh Laurie, who's got.
I could not believe because when I first saw House and I didn't know it was Fry and Laurie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even make the connection, and then I'm like, that guy's not American.
Yeah.
And
Cumberbatch then I'm like, is the same way. Cumberbatch has a good American accent.
Yeah,
and
that's
Hugh Laurie's also just as good.
Yeah. British people can. I mean, Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield's good at it.
Yeah, Andrew Garfield is pretty good at it.
I was thinking
Christian Bale's not very good at it.
He's not bad. I think he's
not
good.
Bad, but you can hear it.
Really?
Yeah,
I think he's pretty good. But
anyway,
so back to this movie.
Back to this movie.
I thought
we'll just keep. I mean, 60 minutes to suck, Tom. We're good.
I thought the visuals were good.
We're not gonna make 60.
but no, the whole marketplace thing. I mean, I checked out during this movie, and I wanted a good action movie, and the visuals did it for me.
In the marketplace,
yeah.
Yes.
So this is when you find out that the
Na'vi,
the Na'vi mules have hired Jabba the Hutt.
I was thinking of the guy from Force Awakens
Find the pearl, which all I could think of is tampons every time they said it.
Right.
Of course.
And the little monster that makes more.
It's a pretty cute little monster.
Yeah. How come you don't give him crap?
Well, one per day. I mean,
all right.
Yeah. So
you've said five times already.
I said it one time. By the way,
again,
you could edit yourself, bitch. Like this.
Well, gloves are
off. Wow, you really can't give me crap for cursing, Joe. You really can't.
So, the
federal government,
the FBI, the federal Valerian, whatever.
Stick with the FBI.
Sure.
The ragtag busload.
They have some sort of thing that like lets them teleport.
No.
What do you mean?
Like he was there, but not there.
He's in the VR world, but he's also got like a little portable.
I didn't understand.
So they've got
all.
These.
He actually was there because they used the box.
They've got these transportation units, so people are shopping virtually, but they're able to interact,
bring the items,
and
to
then
the
they have to like put it through this basically giant interdimensional TSA. Gate.
So he had a portable one. So he was virtually with the glasses, but his arm with the gun.
But then, how did they not see him?
Well,
he was cloaked. At first. They sprayed him with that thing to cloak him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so he was cloaked. This is a sci-fi movie.
I'm not going to argue with any of this.
Only work because it's a VR world? It's another dimension. Like, why didn't they ever use this technology again?
Had to go to a different dimension.
But he's got like I got to be in this other place like super quick and he's brushing through walls. Why didn't he just use this thing?
That's what I said.
No, there's a...
Well, how would he... I mean, there was a ship he was chasing.
He wasn't chasing. He was...
This is honestly...
Oh, yeah, you're right. He was.
Where one of those movies where, like, intelligence or capabilities or... You know, it's the problem with a lot of sci-fi movies is that it works when you need it to work for the story and it doesn't factor into it when when you don't want people.
I couldn't figure out what the rules were.
That scene
there
where he's
rules.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know rules in this movie.
And I don't have a problem with that. They did that. I just couldn't figure out what the rules were in terms of like, why aren't we doing this all the time? This seems like that would be your go-to. It'd be like if we were writing a story in the 1600s and we invented the notion of cars, but then only used them in the opening scene, and then the rest of the time they were walking everywhere. You'd be like, but if you had a car, you would use a car all the time.
Correct.
If you had a teleportation device or whatever, you would use it all the time. Yeah. It wouldn't be like, oh, we'll keep it over here only in case of emergency.
Yeah, only when we need it.
Yeah.
But that scene where the captain has been kidnapped and he's trying to catch up to the captain. He was just like, I need a direct route to get wherever. And she was just like, well, she runs him into a wall, and then all of a sudden he's like, well, this is, I can't do anything. She's like, well, just suit up. And he's like, well, that's too hard. And then he just starts running through walls like they're paper. And I was like, what part of this was too hard?
This is when he starts running through all the lands that we sort of like.
To show you how big the City of a Thousand Planets. That's what they're trying to
do. They said 1,000. Like, I got it.
Yeah, but they're trying to.
You really need to see at least
I've seen
a good dozen.
But we didn't really. I mean, I thought it looked cool. Again, maybe I checked out a lot more.
It looks cool.
There was a cool looking movie.
It was a cool looking scene.
I think this movie's even just hard to summarize.
If you just didn't think about it too much, I think you might enjoy it more, because I just kind of was like, this is cool looking. This is cool.
I totally thought it was cool looking. Yeah. I also thought it was 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I could have been in and out of the emoji movie before this thing even had the opening scene.
I think there was bad writing. I don't like the actors in it, but I thought it was fun visually, and I thought they did some cool sci-fi stuff.
This is the next Fifth Element.
It is.
The next Fifth
Element. But I don't think it's as good of a movie as Fifth Element.
I don't think Fifth Element's that good of a movie.
No, I don't think it holds up as well, but it's still.
What we're saying. So that makes it, by definition, terrible.
Yes.
Because
I think
Fifth Element is questionably good.
But so Fifth Element, there's also cool things.
What's the difference between this and Dunkirk? It's a cool, good-looking movie that didn't tell a story very well.
Yep. There's no difference other than
there was a story. You did get character development. I mean, it did more than Dunkirk did when it came to the story.
I don't think
you
got any character development.
The fact that
he figured out that
Do you know any other names in this movie?
As far as what, like character wise?
Do you know any of them?
No, because
I know Valerian because it's the title of the movie.
Yeah, they keep saying their names.
He didn't seem very deserving
of
having like
the title.
Valerian. Yeah, I was like,
I thought Valerian was going to be a planet.
That's what I thought too.
Well, yeah, and then
the
it was like it was
called
the
Valerian and Laureline.
Yeah, but he was like, there's no like, I was like, so is he like going to be end up being like a King Arthur or something? Like, is he? Because there's none of that, you know, being the namesake of the movie, you expect some sort of
charisma.
Yeah, and some sort of heroic turn, and there's none of that in this.
Well, he says that he'll delete his playlist of all of the women he slept with.
Well, that's the problem. Dane DeHaan is just like a charisma suck of an actor.
They both are.
But the character is supposed to be this amazing. I mean, when you look at how much people love, if you do, you know, research and how much people love this comic series, Major Valerian is this badass character that is
he's Han Solo. Shame on Luc Besson for his casting choices.
Yes, absolutely. I hate those two leads. I'm telling you right now.
They are terrible.
I do wonder if this movie, if I'd have a radically different opinion of this movie.
Somebody different?
If they were actors I cared about.
I'm telling you, because I thought the sci-fi stuff and the effects and the other planets, it's all so cool in concept and it looked cool. But then when they were doing stuff, it's hard to enjoy it as much because...
Did the investors tie Besson's hands... That where he had to choose, you know, something that would resonate with an American audience, and this was the choice.
I wonder,
are these two leads, because
but one of them is an American.
Two other, I know, but you know, she, you know,
she's been in these
the
big
last
movies.
Movie
that,
she was in was an Academy Award winner.
They both
so but you know what I mean? Like was that part of his agreement with the investors? Because I think they are so distractingly bad that it's like, because the other stuff you're like, well, you know, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. I don't know. It looks cool.
Right.
And that's a lot of that is Fifth Element.
Yeah.
But this, I was like, woof.
I know. I'm telling you.
So bad at this that it's like.
It's awful.
It takes away from the movie. I was like, I mean, honestly, I walked away from this like, huh, Herbie Hancock is not bad.
Yeah. No, he's in it for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, but it's like, well, he could act better.
Yeah.
He's a better actor than there are two leads in this
the
movie.
The casting is the major downfall, no pun intended, but it is that is the problem with this movie. Is you? It might be a more of a fun, check-your-brain summer popcorn blockbuster. I mean, I still enjoy portions of it, but I think that people would have enjoyed it a lot more if the two lead actors were charismatic and likable.
Yeah.
Just they're talk about chemistry. So they're partners,
right?
And there's not a romantic thing there when we start out.
Well, I think there is on his end.
Right. What I'm saying is there's no...
I couldn't tell what that was because she pops up and they're playing grab ass.
And he gets a hold of her.
They're play wrestling and he's flipping her around. And I'm like... But then she's like, I'm not dating you. Leave me alone. And then he asks her to marry him.
Immediately.
I was confused.
Immediately. And she's like... This is crazy. We're not even dating, but then she kisses him, but on the cheek.
Right.
I'm like, I don't understand
what's happening.
Any of this.
Like, there's no.
That's how I felt.
There's no barometer of a relationship. Like, the only barometer is like you get slapped with a restraining order,
right,
for putting your hands on her the way you did. Like, that's not okay.
They're not supposed to be in a relationship. He likes her. They're just partners, and he's trying to hit on her the entire time. And I think it's supposed to be, like, deep down. I mean, she's more straight edge and serious than he is.
Does she do drugs or drink?
I don't think so. She seemed very...
Interesting. Interesting move.
Yeah. Did you see her drink in this movie?
I didn't.
You
did. She takes a shot from the Nevi. When they're telling her the story at the end of the line.
I didn't know that was a shot. It might have just been a drink, like water, but yeah.
It was a shot, Kevin.
I don't know. I thought, and it was like, was that supposed to be comedic? Because when she takes a swig, there's a pause. I'm like, was that a joke? Or I couldn't really read that. I was trying to figure that out. But no, it's those two characters are just awful, and they don't have chemistry together. You know, for these partners that are trying to save each other's lives and care about each other, and
you're saying that that Star Wars quote unquote borrowed
inspiration,
okay, which is fine.
Yeah.
So this is he's Han Solo, right? Like, I mean,
he could have, I guess, had some inspiration.
He could be the basis for Han Solo, and she could be the basis for Leia, maybe her, maybe not so much. But I mean, if he's supposed to be this slick,
kind of a rogue,
slick, like, ladies man.
No, I had the same thing. I had the same take that I was like, in fact, I was watching this movie thinking, like, I wonder how this would play if this was Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford 35 years ago.
Sure. No, yeah.
I could see a better.
Not Harrison Ford now.
No, that would be weird.
Well, it would still be better, but.
True.
But no, I could see that. I think it's. My next point was, I don't even necessarily think it's the writing. I mean, for a sci-fi blockbuster, the writing might have been just fine. It's the delivery of these actors.
That's terrible.
I would accept it with any other actors better in the role saying the same things. I feel like could have pulled it off.
Jesse Bradford and Elijah Dushku.
There you go.
There it
could have been better.
That's a win.
Yeah. So, but all right. So what else happened?
So they
get through the market.
They get through the market, and then they get back to the ship. And this is where we meet Clive Owen, who is Snidely Whiplash. Like, he's the bad guy from the get.
Did anyone for 1 second think he wasn't the bad guy in this movie?
No. The only twist I thought was that maybe the other guy was in on it, too.
Yeah.
That was as far as, like...
I think if I had been giving the plot of this movie a thought, then maybe I would have. I didn't. Like, I was just, like, so uninterested.
Yeah. Yeah. Clive Owen was the bad
guy.
What's
interesting is that when we see sort of, like, the downfall of Mule, and they shoot it in a way that they don't show.
Yeah, right. But you hear his voice.
Right.
It's like, well, like, there's one guy in this movie
know
that sounds
that
like
we
that.
Saw him.
Right.
And we know what he looks like, and we know what he sounds like. Why are they shooting this...
In secret.
But that was like right before the reveal. You know what I mean?
How
we'd already
seen Clive Owen.
That we've already seen.
No, I know. I'm saying, like, in the from the beginning when you saw him, though, and everything was classified, it's like, and only his level can get to
it. And he has these.
It's like, clearly he covered
it. He has one of them captured.
And he's torturing one. He has death troopers. Yeah. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
We've seen all these things already.
It's
an hour before the big reveal. So he's the bad guy.
Yeah, so it's not. They're not doing anything groundbreaking. The story. It's not like a huge twisty turn. Like, if you didn't see that coming a mile away, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So they are two heroes. I did air quotes. They bring the little beast back. they're going to have this. The Senate is going to have a meeting, and then they are attacked.
And then an hour of whatever happens.
Oh my god! Like
because it's like an hour before anything really, really happens.
So yeah. I talked to
and then there's Rihanna.
I talked to a friend of the show, Brian Spath, who had seen this Friday, and I was just like, "How bad?" And he was like, nobody. He's like, I'm pretty sure I fell asleep. And I know exactly where he fell asleep because I did it too.
Oh wow.
Like I saw this at the Galleria, which I'll give them credit. I think they've rehabbed some of those theaters. It's pretty nice.
Really?
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah. The two theaters in the back, really nice. But like I was sitting in the last row and like the chairs kind of like they recline back a little bit and like they bump up against the wall. And I must have leaned my head against the wall because I woke up and I was like,
oh, what?
How long have I been asleep? We're still down here?
I was awake and I said the same thing.
Yeah, great.
But, you know, I think for me, and this was not good. And again, the writing was not great, but maybe with better actors could have been good. The two leads are atrocious.
It's not maybe.
But for me, it was cotton candy. I just really enjoyed looking at it. It's not a good movie.
It was cotton candy, but it was a... I'm going to say it. It was a... flavor of cotton candy. Yeah. It was like lemon cotton candy. Where you're like, I like cotton candy, and then I'm like, ugh, lemon.
This I mean,
I'm
eating it,
but
I think it's disappointing.
Why lemon? Why do we even make it like this?
Why lemon?
Have you ever had popcorn flavored jelly beans?
That sounds awful.
They're awful. And you know what? What's interesting is that they taste
just like butter popcorn.
Just like butter popcorn. I mean, I don't know
consistency.
I don't know that anything's ever nailed the taste. But
no,
but the consistency
it's showing
of,
it, yeah, it should not be like
it's like you're eating pre-chewed popcorn.
Yes,
it's like someone baby birded popcorn
spit in your mouth
into your mouth.
Yeah.
Like this is how baby birds eat popcorn.
Oh, it thanks.
Is very disconcerting.
So this was
you're
like,
supposed to crunch, not squish.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this movie is the equivalent of buttered popcorn jelly belly.
Of pre-chewed popcorn.
But
that's spit into your mouth.
I think the most frustrating thing is the potential this movie had because the visuals, because the source material is well known and obviously lasted 40 years. I think there's probably a lot of really cool things. And I think that the downfall was really the casting.
I will also say,
I think we need to entertain the notion that in the same way we talk about how until kind of the last 10 years or so ish, we were pretty starved for like nerd type stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking what we might be witnessing here is that this was a big deal in France.
Right. Yes.
But there is as starved as we were for nerd type stuff.
Sure.
How starved must they have been for French language nerd type stuff?
Yeah, right.
So maybe this is kind of like Christian rock.
It
right?
could be.
Like you're
it's an interesting analogy.
You're not good enough to be a secular band, but if you throw in a couple references to Jesus, all of a sudden you can be a really big deal as a Christian rock
band. You know what?
Band.
I'm wondering if Luc Besson, you know, has
no
spent
intention.
More money on the voice actors for the international audience.
Yeah, that could be.
Like, he's probably going from name people to do the voice.
Mm. Right.
And, like, he's just shooting, like, because nobody's going to hear
he's got Gerard,
Dean DeHaan.
He's got Gerard Depardieu in the
wings.
He's
not going to hear them.
Interesting.
Doing.
I wonder how a French actor might play that
they're
role.
They're not going to hear them anyway.
And not voice it like a surfer guy.
Yeah, they're not going to hear any of that because, like, none of that's going to play.
That's,
and he's probably thought, no, it doesn't matter how they act because that's not what people are going to hear in the audience anyway.
That's a really great point.
So
they might have a cool Harrison Ford type voicing on me.
What I will say is I appreciate, with as much nerd culture that has become prevalent now, I appreciate that people are going outside of the big two to look at other comic books. You know, like, it's sure. not just Marvel and DC. Like, there's thousands of properties out there that are right. We saw it at San Diego when Blumhouse was smart enough to pick up Spawn. Like, to me, that's a brilliant move on McFarlane's part and Blumhouse.
Or like, Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass.
I mean, it's a Marvel property.
Right.
That's a Marvel. Kingsman, Kick-Ass, any of the Mark Miller stuff is technically through Icon, which is
so you still consider that
Marvel? Yeah, it's
Marvel?
A Marvel property.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I was just thinking that they're not picking Marvel
the
and DC. They're, at least they're going to the different...
Yeah, there's so much stuff out there. That
I guess Image would be the same
Image
kind of,
and Dark Horse. I mean, Hellboy. Yeah. You know, things like Image, Dark Horse, Oni, all that stuff.
That's
there's
cool,
so
though.
Many properties out there. And there's so many... Like, there's a great graphic novel series called Black Sad, that I think would lend itself, I think, I'm pretty sure it's Spanish, but it would lend itself amazingly to an animated movie.
Well, there's an entire viewing audience that aren't aware of the origins of Walking Dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, which is, I mean,
there are people who watch that religiously and have like, it's no idea.
I had no idea. Yeah. I bought that off the
ending
rack.
Soon.
No.
What?
No. Did no? you read the he's like, I never said I was. I said I he's, oh. he said I have an ending. I didn't say I was writing the ending.
Okay.
Yeah. He's
fake
like,
news.
No. Okay. That's he's going to milk that cash cow until there ain't nothing left.
Really? Yeah. I thought maybe he was just rich enough from the show and everything that he just thought, oh, let me end it before it gets too...
No.
Okay.
No, hell
fair
no.
Enough. Okay. Back to this, though. So they're trying to... The aliens steal the Clive Owen guy.
They hit him with the goo gun.
And capture him for about an hour. Meanwhile, because they think he has the replicator.
Right.
But Cara Delevingne actually... hit it and she has it, and so they're trying to save him, but
the creature strapped to her back that keeps making noise,
yeah,
like nobody seems to want to question it. Yeah. They go on her backside,
yeah. So Valerian,
nah, he's fine.
So Valerian's trying to capture the general, and then he gets into a zone where there's no communication.
Well, there's like this red zone that is supposed to be contaminated, and they lose him down there.
So anyway,
and then we go into the scene from Arrival.
So even in a sci-fi movie, we still have the scene where they can't get cell service.
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, we're gonna lose you. Nah, I lost.
But that's how
700 years.
That's
in the
how
future.
Realistic this movie is.
Verizon has taken over. They just dead spots
Sprint,
everywhere.
Obviously. Yeah. So, but anyway, so they go after him and they end up in this place where they run into Ethan Hawke.
It's kind of like Vegas. I guess like the Vegas version,
so Tijuana.
It's the nightclub scene.
But they run into
sci-fi movies.
Yeah, it's the opera scene from The Fifth Element. Yes. So
but they run into not Chris Tucker, played by Ethan Hawke, who is playing the piano again. Visually, I thought the stuff Rihanna was doing was cool. Like,
I thought her. Yes. I mean, granted, it's Rihanna. Like that's a win. But like I thought the way she changed costumes and everything. Yeah.
Again, it's like all the visuals in this movie were very...
This is, again, where Luc Besson is sort of just genre mining and was like, well, I had that musical scene, so I want to do that.
Let's do that again.
So I'm going to my musical scene, and we'll have Rihanna, and we'll make her natural state really cute, so everybody will be upset when she dies. because I was like, well, they're going to kill her, and honestly, there was no reason to.
No. Yeah.
And I'm not even sure how, because she's just jelly.
Crushed her. I don't know.
Crushed her jelly.
Yeah.
But, because she can slip through everything. But I was like, oh, but they're going to do that because it's supposed to have, we're supposed to have some sort of emotional resonance.
Well, it's because Rihanna can only film for 2 days.
Yeah. she's a busy woman.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Loreline
gets
captured.
Work.
She gets captured by these weird.
Small brains.
Yeah. Sloth alien guys.
That was a weird scene where they were like trying on the thing and she, like
that was a weird scene.
This movie is
one
a weird
of many
scene.
Many so, many and many I hate weird. I walked out of this movie and I hate when people refer to things as weird, because it's just, I think it's lazy when people are like, well, it's weird. It's just usually something people are uncomfortable with or unfamiliar with, and they're just dismissive.
How about
and
weird,
I just
how about
I hate,
weird choices.
I hate it, but in this movie, I was like, "This is weird."
And I was weird I for the it. Sake of weirdness.
Yeah,
like,
I hate when people say that, but that's exactly my first word was like, "This is weird."
It's weird. It's a weird.
It's
movie.
Like I hate saying it.
So she gets captured, and then Rihanna is able to take the form of these weird sloth alien creatures.
Yeah, she comes like it becomes like the symbiote.
Yeah, so he goes inside of her. Not R-rated or NC-17, but it's literally. And so they go and they end up, we find out that Cara Delevingne, they want to sacrifice her, basically. Have
They're
her be
eat your brain.
Be eaten. They save her. They have
white snack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's first course.
Well, that's why that lemon, nice. There was so an abundant amount of lemon.
Yeah.
Giant lemon.
I was like, don't do it, Indy. Don't do it.
It's an appetizer.
Yeah. So they bust her out of there, and then Rihanna dies, and they basically.
This is one of the worst fight scenes I've ever seen.
Well, this is where we find out that Cara did not have
as much stunt research and practice as Charlize, because that fight sequence
is atrocious,
barely edited together.
Yeah,
like
I watched Atomic Blonde after this, and it was so refreshing as far as fight choreography
this is
goes.
Like they were doing like it was so bad and so like they were like struggling so hard that they were even leaning on the old tactics of like the old Adam West 66 Batman, where they like started doing the sideways camera
the tilt shift
just so you weren't totally able to see how horrible, like they weren't connecting. It was
this was terrible, this was really awful.
It's short. It was like okay, she can't fight, let's just turn the camera sideways and moving on.
You sound like that old joke. Have you been to that restaurant? Oh, the food is awful and such small portions. So yeah, they fall on the sewer. This is where Rihanna dies. Then they somehow make their way to, so this entire time I'm trying to, wasn't this other captain, he's a Guy Ritchie guy, isn't he?
I couldn't figure out.
He was a Lockstock.
Yeah,
he is someone that you would know.
There's a lot of people in this where you're like, what is that?
Who's that guy?
That's a guy.
That's Sam Spruill.
Oh, okay. Well,
perfect. Yeah. What else was he in?
The Hurt Locker.
Okay.
Mm. Taken 3.
Mm.
Yeah.
The Martian.
Okay.
Legend. That's the Tom Hardy.
Tom Cruise one.
No. Yeah.
Okay. Nope. I recognize him. Like, he's one of those actors that I recognize.
The Counselor.
I did not see The Counselor.
But yeah, so anyway, he's been in a bunch of stuff. Snow White and The Huntsman. So you've seen
him. He's always a bad guy, basically. Yeah. And so he's starting to figure out that there's something.
Luther?
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. He's one of the bad guys in Luther.
Owen Lynch.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. That's a.
So yeah,
that's a good episode.
You've seen him and he was good.
Yeah, he was really good in that episode.
Well, he's not bad in this. I mean,
But I mean, that episode of Luther is fantastic.
Yeah.
But granted, you could say that about every episode of Luther.
So what is
nine minutes?
Yeah, I know. And 9 minutes. Yeah. So
I'm trying to get to the end.
I thought I was saying it slower.
Yeah. So they show up and there's like this holographic colorful wall.
It's the arrival.
It is the arrival.
It's Stargate.
Yeah. It's both.
It's a thing.
It's a Stargate.
It's a rival gate.
Yeah. I feel like that's a political thing.
Yeah, it's
like,
sort of controversy. Right.
It will. Don't worry.
Give it time.
Yeah. So they both walk through it, and now we see all of this alien race. The ones that have survived are here on this one little part of the planet. They kind of lay out, they're like, this is what happened to us. They explain that Clive Owen was in the middle of a battle with somebody else. They say
dun dun dun, he called for,
he's the bad guy.
Did they ever say why he fired on the planet?
No.
I never
figured
out.
No, they were firing missiles at other ships.
Yeah, but he said
the planet was in the way.
If you're in a space battle, why are you shooting at a planet?
They shot at the other ships, and just like one of their nuclear missiles went past, and it blew up the planet.
It wasn't an accident. It was a conscious choice. Because they were like,
the one black guy is
like,
because
they were like, this planet is inhabited. And he's like, no, it's not. Wink.
Yeah. Well, I thought that just meant we shouldn't be firing right in within range.
He didn't want
hit.
any witnesses to the destruction he had caused. So he blew up the planet.
Okay.
And that's why he also wiped out the one guy who was like, no,
the other black guy.
There's an advanced civilization down there.
They reference him twice, and they're just like, no, he's dead.
Yeah. So then the Navi mules. They give their
trademark real spoilers.
Their exposition, which is, so a handful of them escaped, and there's like one pearl, and they need to find this creature so they can replicate it.
And Dean DeHaan's like, hey, look what I got.
And then in the meantime, they've been like stowed away on other ships and hiding beneath the surface of the City of a Thousand Planets, and they've developed a way to
get back home,
remake their planet from scratch
on the ship,
and then but they just need this energy source once the planet's been made. So keep in mind, this is a group of savages,
right
that have no real technological expertise going into this,
right,
and they figured out how to make a whole other planet with all of its organic life forms from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, in 30 years.
Right, right, yes. Right. They figured it out.
In 30 years.
But they're savages.
They've reached the level of godhood. Yeah.
They're like the makers in Prometheus.
Interesting.
So, yeah. They do look like them, actually, now that I think about it.
Right, so Clive Owen wakes up. They call him out.
When they started talking through this, I was like, maybe what we're going to do is we're going to find out that they are the evolved human. Like,
right, because like we're like 500 or 600 years in the future.
Yeah, right. They're the evolved humans that were left behind, you know, when the city.
So if they were the evolved humans,
it's sort of like the evolved humans that were in AI.
Oh, right.
Because you remember at the end of AI,
it was like the AI had evolved to become its own life form.
And the humans that were left behind, the humans turn into this evolved higher species.
Well, in the book, Earth is taken over by another alien race.
But they weren't aliens.
I thought they just turned into apes.
No.
So, okay. So, anyway, Clive Owen wakes up. They call him out. The twist is revealed. No one's surprised.
They punch him in the face.
That's it.
Bunch.
And the end is like over.
They fight the death bots. They beat the death bots.
Oh, yeah, there's a fight, but the Asian
guy saves the day by disabling the
cutting the red wires.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was like, oh, the Asian guy makes the save. Perfect.
It was just very anticlimactic because the twist and the big reveal was totally predictable, and then they just like punch him and hang him up, and then the Asian guy saves the day. Like, it all boiled down to a very lackluster ending, which was
lackluster movie.
Well, I mean, after all the visuals, the action,
this is what Wikipedia helped me out because I left.
Yeah.
It sounds like nothing else happens in this
movie.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So
our two leads are off. She agrees to, I guess, have sex with him and marry him because...
Well, you have to get married first.
Okay.
Right? That's...
Yeah, that's the way it works, Kevin. Yeah.
This movie.
In 1942. Even then, probably not.
Yeah.
Well, what's old is new. 2342.
Yeah. So it ends, and it's just... I was a supporter of Luc Besson for this. Oh, I'm trying to think what his third movie was. At least I feel like it was those first three. And I was like, yeah, man, like this guy's awesome.
Now, he produced all the Transporters, all the Taken.
Maybe that's what he was. Producer. Okay. He wasn't. Yeah. But this is.
Man. And then he did The Family and then Lucy and then this.
Lately, yeah. I don't get it.
I don't get it. You know, and maybe if this is Scarlett Johansson. Instead of Cara Delevingne,
I think
maybe it elevates it. Maybe she does what she can with it. I mean,
well, it certainly would have been better.
She was in Lucy, and Lucy made a boatload of money.
I'll be curious to see how this does globally.
You know what I was thinking? This would be.
I think it'll do fine.
Yeah.
It will.
He's going to have another hit.
You know what I was thinking of? This character, and you talk about a young Harrison Ford and that kind of. Chris Pratt. If Chris Pratt was Valerian, that's what they're going for.
It needs to be Chris Pratt pre.
But that's for. American audiences.
Yeah.
And this is.
But don't you agree, though, that what Dane DeHaan was trying to do, that's Chris Pratt?
I would agree.
Type? I mean,
I could see Chris Pratt delivering those jokes. Yeah, absolutely. I could see that for sure.
And I think that that's probably the reason why there isn't a great deal of care or direction given to them because they're not going to be. Nobody's going to hear them.
Yeah.
And overseas, there's going to be some probably. That they invest in some the very well-known French voice actors.
The only movie I can think Dean DeHaan was Chronicle. Like he's the bad guy in Chronicle.
Well, that goes away back.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's the only thing I can think of him being enjoyable.
This
in.
Movie, I think Tom nailed it. Is like this is coming to the AV showroom floor of your nearest Costco.
Kill Your Darlings is probably good one that.
That's the one about.
For.
Oh no, Chronicle's really good. Chronicle's a good movie.
Yeah, it's but really I mean, I think as movie. Far as his performance, I think people, that would be the one that people would argue.
Not Through the Never, or whatever that Metallica movie was.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Thing. He's the roadie in that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, so.
Yeah, I guess that's how it ends. With any luck.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
He's eyeballing
any
sequel.
Any sequels will probably be entirely in French, so just give it up.
He says he is working on writing the sequel now, and it's just going to depend on the foreign take. So.
You should finish writing the first one.
Hey-o.
Zing. So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for
us? Yeah, it's called La Femme Nikita. It's Luc Besson's first movie, and you should just see that.
Don't watch the USA show.
Not the USA show, although it was remade fairly well as Point of No Return.
It's
with
a good flick.
Luc Besson, that was sort of his breakthrough, and it's a sort of a wayward teenager who is basically recruited into, you know, sort of a assassin school. And I believe Jean Reno is the cleaner in that movie, which Harvey Keitel played in the American version.
Right.
It's a really, really good movie, and don't be thrown off by the fact that you got to read it because it's, you know, it's French.
Is it Gabriel Byrne?
Yes. And,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a great movie. And honestly, for fun, do that and Point of No Return as a double feature just to see the, you know, how things have translated. But yeah, you want to see why Luc Besson is sort of a point of frustration for us. Mm-hmm. See that.
His early stuff was so good.
Yeah. See that. Or see Leon the Professional. Not the Professional. See the Leon version that make you a little more squeamish, but it's a better
movie. That's his best film,
right? See, like, yeah, I think so. But see why this guy, you know, had such promise and why we're so irritated. And then, yeah, Fifth Element. But this is just another version of that. That one, like, at least you could say it's good. This one, you're like, it's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. A lot of potential, I think. It's just some misfires.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket and on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, we're still waiting for you at iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It just lets iTunes know we're alive and people care. And that isn't a bad thing for
iTunes
to
know.
Yes. Yeah. So also, if you would like to continue the conversation online, find us at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. You can also join the League of Show Sharers and communicate more openly, freely. Like, you won't be throttled. The other people will see your posts more readily. So that's the difference between the two. So feel free to do both. It costs nothing, and it's worth every penny. So that's it for this episode. I guess coming up next week will be The Dark Tower.
I think so.
Will be the movie du jour. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Mangalore destroys the ship while Dallas escapes with the stones.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.